Welcome back again to the Chasing Tone Podcast. This is Brian with Mr. Tone Mob Podcast, Blake Weiland. How's it going, man?
It's really good. The weather's been good, and I'm feeling funky fresh.
How's your week been?
The week is really just getting started, but I did have quite a nice weekend.
Weekend, I should say, yes.
Yeah, of Mother's Day-ing, and it was actually very enjoyable, so
really?
Even though I'm not the mother.
I was going to say, I didn't realize you were a mother.
You know, it was like, well, what do you want to do, honey? Like, I want to go eat some good food. Like, oh, okay, I can make that happen. No problem.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it was low key and enjoyable, and the Blazers won game three, so I'm smiling.
Oh, you're a sports guy, huh?
No, I'm not. I'm just a Blazers fan. That's pretty much it.
Now, Blazers, is that a basketball team or hockey or what is it?
A sports ball.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a sports ball, and they throw the puck in the basket, and they get sports points.
It's to get sports points. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love sportsing stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Go sports.
Yep. So guess what I did last week?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you went to Iceland.
Wrong direction.
Oh, okay.
Which not What'd to be do, confused with One Direction, which is a totally different band.
But it is, which is also the wrong direction.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I got to hang out with Mr. Paisley last Thursday
and
Friday.
Mr. Paisley himself? Like the guy who invented the handkerchief?
No. No, this guy actually sings music. Sometimes it's on the radio. Uh-huh.
Radio. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Brad Paisley?
Yes, Brad Paisley.
Of Paisley Drive fame.
Of Paisley Drive fame, the renowned Telecaster player.
Yes.
Got to hear the new Dr. Z DB amp, which is killer. It's awesome. Sounds great. Especially he runs it in stereo, which is pretty magical to be standing a foot away and hearing it at that volume.
Oh, man.
It's like, oh. I'm like, all right, so I'll trade you this pedal for that amp, right?
Maybe even two pedals.
Yeah, I did bring
some
stuff
really
for him
cool.
to check out. Yeah, it was great, man. I brought some stuff for him to check out. Some super top secret stuff.
It worked the other way too. Top secret
all,
super stuff.
Get all dyslexic. I can't even say the word. Get okay. all that on that on that word. What was I saying? Yeah. So the ethereal that we showed at NAMM that mm-hmm. is still. Hasn't been ready. Should be ready here soon. Which is like a delay and reverb thing, right?
Yes. Very cool.
So it's, it also like does this ambient. It's got several delay settings. One of mm-hmm. those is like a very ambient type of thing where the delays are building on itself. And it's just a really cool effect. And so it's so cool. Like when you design something and you put it in front of an artist and, like most of what he does is writing. I mean, he does a lot of playing, but it's all about writing cool stuff that people mm-hmm. want to hear, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Of course.
And it's like it's that moment where you're like, yes, this is the reason that I choose to do this. It's like almost like a validation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's always cool to hear like your stuff being played. Like you turn on the radio, like, I made that pedal he's playing. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's even cooler whenever you watch someone play a pedal for the first time, and then they start writing things around the pedal. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Then that was just such a cool thing to like. You can see gears turning. You know what I mean? And he starts playing these lines, and he's like, "Oh," he goes, "How soon can I get one of these?" And I said, "Well, that's the only one I got, so you can't have that one."
Like you're gonna have to hold off. Otherwise, I'd say today, but, that's really cool. I mean, that's a, about as ringing of an endorsement as it gets. Like, how soon can I get one of these? Like, well, I wasn't prepared for this, so.
Well, it's just cool because, like that's always what I'm striving for is that moment where someone plays something and they write, like, it inspires them to write something around what they're hearing. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the most gratifying part of building pedals and all, you know, anything to do with the, with music equipment, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it really? Like, to make somebody experience something in a different way. We've kind of touched on this before and got, we both get like really dreamy and like, oh, it's so amazing. you know, but it really is. I mean, that is the whole point of new gear, is to push you into a new sonic direction. So
I think so. I mean, there's companies that have exceptions to that, but I think most of the boutique-y guys, or whatever you want to call us, aren't necessarily that way. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you go to NAMM, you'll see a lot of different. Well, you've been to NAMM. Lots of effect companies there that you know, their whole goal is to bring you something as cheap as possible, mm-hmm. not as good as possible, but as inexpensive as possible. And that's not really, that's not my thing, man.
Right.
You know, I don't like to, sacrifice sound or anything like that just for the sake of, a couple bucks. But I also know that limits us, you know, not everyone can afford a $200 pedal. I totally get it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to make the sacrifices necessary to build a $30 pedal.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, like, as kind of dumb as it sounds, because everyone knows I don't know how to design anything, but I could do that. I've already, like, researched how that works. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you go on Alibaba.com and you can pull up these, like, you know, $30 pedals that you can buy for $5, you know?
Right. Yep.
And you stick your sticker on them. And wham, bam. And mm-hmm. that's why, like, when I went for the first time, I was like, why are this exact same pedal was four booths over with a different sticker on it? The mm-hmm. Identical.
Yep.
I'm like, why? I don't understand. I understand, like, the, you know, business model, move a whole bunch of volume and sell things as cheap as possible. But I was surprised at how many companies had the identical things in their lineup.
No, exactly right, yeah.
And obviously it's working for them on some level. I don't know how well, but it is.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. That market is so much different than our market. I just don't know that much about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I remember, and I'm sure you do too, I mean, there's been a few smaller companies over the years that pop up that have, you know, taken these cheaper, inexpensive pedals, rehoused them, and then call it boutique or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I can name names, but I won't.
Yeah, so. not a big fan of that stuff myself.
No, and they put the goop on it, and they're like, look at my fancy new wah pedal that I made that is actually made by somebody else, but I said that I made it, and I put goo all over it. So, yeah.
Well, there's been all kinds, not just the wah thing, but there's been overdrives and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's obviously the most common thing.
But, sorry.
I mean, I've seen entire lines that they've created that, you know, you open it up, you're like, this is the identical circuit board to this $30 pedal.
Right.
That's weird, you know?
isn't that like, I don't know, doesn't that just grind your gears? Like, because that's so the antithesis of what, you know, the respected guys in the industry do. It's the exact opposite.
Right.
And... I think those guys, not all of them, obviously, but the DIY community's not dumb. Eventually, they figure that stuff out. I'm sure there's other guys that have got away with it, but I don't know.
Not for long. You know, I mean, the truth is, I mean, like, there's forums like Free Stomp Boxes and DIY Stomp Boxes, and you know, the DIYers, if it's a cool pedal that starts selling, they get a hold of it and they see what's going on underneath the hood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if those guys, you know, I mean, there's, you know, just I kind of came from that community of DIYers. So I've seen a lot of circuit boards over the years, you know?
So right.
it's pretty easy to open something up. You're like, yep, that's this pedal. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, in the same, I mean, in the same way that, like, you can open up a pedal and, like, start counting capacitors and resistors. You're like, yeah, it's just Tube Screamer. You know what I mean?
This is kind of dumb. I'm sure this has happened, but probably not, because it's way too dumb. But do you think there's guys that maybe do something like that? Like, okay, it's a Tube Screamer, tweak to whatever. But they'll, like, add components in that aren't really doing anything to try to throw people off.
Yeah, it's been done before.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Funny. People have done that. But funny. I mean, but the thing is, like, if once you actually know how to, like, reverse engineer a pedal, mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to, you're like, huh, there's really no traces going anywhere. That doesn't really make any sense. No.
Yeah. I just did a big circle and it's not connected to anything. Well, all
right. Right. Everything's in parallel here. Yeah, that's, doesn't make sense.
Oh man. That's kind of funny. I mean, it really is, like, so it's slightly comical if people know what we're talking about, but I'm sure they do. It's just, an interesting mindset, I suppose. It's like you spent the time to, like, create, you didn't really create it, but you spent time to build something. And like we've talked about before, you know, there's not really a bunch of billionaires floating around in the boutique pedal market. So, like, how much money were you trying to make and staking your reputation on this phony thing?
Well, the thing. I think people, like, think that there's just this big flood of cash. You know, like we're all in Silicon Valley or something, mm-hmm. you know? And the truth is, most of us are living pretty meagerly, you know?
Right. Like, I mean, you know, well, I don't know, Brian. Martinsville in Indiana is known as a hub of of cash and millionaires and, you know, Wall Street type tycoons. Yes, you know, I mean,
definitely.
That's what it's known for.
Oh, yes, yes, it definitely is. And that's why we have a Walmart and a Chili's, you know?
What did you mm-hmm. call the Martinsville limousine? Was that your golf cart?
Yes, yes, you've caught me. I do have a golf cart. But you kind of got to when you live out in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we had a four-wheeler, but I think we screwed the motor up on that one.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, kids.
Oh, boy. Them, you know, kids. They put diesel in it.
I got a teenage boy who, he's kind of like Ricky Bobby. He just wants to go fast. Oh. You know?
Yeah, that's understandable. That tends to happen. So. Wind it up, you know. This is unrelated. I do want to ask you something real quick. Mm-hmm. This is going back to what we were originally talking about before we mm-hmm. talked about ripoffs. Mm-hmm. Brad Paisley's studio must be pretty incredible. I'm just imagining it. I don't know what it looks like.
I thought we were going to be going out there, but plans kind of changed. So instead of that, they were rehearsing for a tour.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I just hung out with him during rehearsals and stuff. Which is, I mean, it's pretty, it's cool, but it's not like what everyone would think. Like, for example, they're all using in-ears, right?
Of course.
If you're, even if you're, they're at a concert, and you're backstage, like in, you know, like, or even on stage while they're playing, all you hear is drums, guitar, you hear the instruments. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's, and they're so loud, it's kind of all muddy and muddled together. Like, it's, you can't always make out what's going on. The only vocals you hear are anything that goes out and bounces back.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You know, and plus you're hearing the instruments go out and bounce back. So it's actually, you're hearing all that muddled together. And so it's actually it's not super super clear at all.
You know what I mean? I know exactly what you are talking about. We don't all use in-ears, but my band, whenever we practice, we're using headphones. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously much smaller scale than what you're talking about. But that, you know, our wives will come up like, I can't even hear anything but drums. We're like, well, that's because we're listening to it in the headphones, so we can actually hear it. You know. Mm-hmm. I kind of advocate practicing that way for people if they can, you know, if they can do a setup like that.
What is that setup? I'm not familiar with that setup. What's that look
so,
like?
So it's basically like a condensed version of what you're talking about. All the guitars are amped, and depending on where we're at, the drums will be either, you know, electric drums, or if we're in a better spot, they'll be real acoustic drums. So everything's mic'd like you would be doing like maybe a bigger venue or something, but we're in a little practice space. That has kind of allowed us to keep our volumes down a little bit overall, but still be able to get pretty good tones and hear, you know, what each other is doing. And then it's ran out to a mixer and a headphone amp, you know, and then everybody's kind of got some control over the levels. So
is all this stuff like at your house, or do you rent a rehearsal space and you have to drag everything there and set everything up?
No, it's at one of our houses. You know, I have, I'm working on trying to get a more permanent setup at my place. Right now it's really just cobbled together, and we've only played at my place once, but, it's at one of the band members' houses. Like I've built kind of my little shred shed out there. And then, recently the bass player took part of his shop. He has a pretty good size, like a mechanic shop, and sectioned off a part of it to have a jam space out there as well. So yeah,
you have like isolated rooms or something, or how are you micing everything up independently? Are you just throwing a 57 on it, or?
Yeah, we're just throwing a 57 on it. So in the past, we have had the amps in a different room. And that worked out pretty well. That actually at one guy's studio, we were playing in his basement, with electric drums. And then he has a small studio that is kind of like, I don't know, 30 feet from his house or so, maybe a little further. And he actually ran a snake in conduit underground. So we had the guitar amps all in the studio. You hate snakes?
I don't like snakes at all. There's copperheads here, man. Those things are dangerous. They'll kill you.
Oh, we just got garter snakes around here. They're like worms. They don't even bother me.
Yeah, we have those too, but we have copperheads out here. And apparently, someone has seen a rattlesnake here recently, which is awesome. Gotta love that.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't know that you had rattlesnakes in that area.
I didn't either. Apparently, someone found one in town somewhere. So
you basically live in Australia at this point. You got to get the heck out of there.
I definitely live in the middle of nowhere. I do. I live, it's in between Indianapolis and Bloomington, if you're familiar with Indiana, which you're probably not, which means if you're looking at a map of Indiana and you see Indianapolis right in the middle, go about a half an inch down.
Okay.
You know, about half an inch away.
Well, so you're not that far.
Yeah, it's like half an inch. You know, how long does it take to go that far?
Nice.
So, anyways, I totally interrupted you when you're talking about you have a snake that goes underground.
Yeah, so it's like a very large snake. I can't remember how many channels it was, but basically they were sending and receiving the, you know, instrument level signal through the snake to some amps that were inside the studio. So it was actually in a completely separate building. And then it sent them back to our mixer and headphone amp. I might be oversimplifying that because I didn't set it up, and I may be explaining it kind of wrong. But so in that case, they were isolated from us, and it was super annoying because the drummer's playing electric drums on like rubber pads, and we're singing and playing basically unplugged in electrics.
Right.
So you can imagine what that sounds like to everyone above us.
it sounds basically like all they hear is, I'm imagining the guitar, like unplugged guitar, and some guy beating on cardboard boxes, and then several guys singing every now and then.
Exactly. And we'll get done. We're like, man, that sounded great. Damn, that was awesome. And like, that was super annoying. Like you, but you know,
The wives are going, there was sound. There was sound of a sort there. Yeah, yeah. Can't say it sounds great, but.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, that's the gist of it. But it does work really well, and we kind of applied the same idea to once we had more isolated spaces. We could have the amps in there with us and kind of get the room moving, or the room moving, the air moving off the amp, you know, kind of blowing your pant legs a little bit, but
right,
it's like in between. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting setup. I don't see many guys that do it, but it's great for being able to hear each other in a small space. So
I'll tell you something I found weird. Of course, I have a few close friends that whenever I'm in Nashville, we kind of hang out and stuff. So one of my other friends was playing around the corner. So I went and saw him. Then we just kind of walked around and, you know, checked out a few other bands, because everybody kind of knows everybody that plays down there on Broadway. And I'm noticing a trend. I'm noticing that people, like, a lot in the past would say, I love your pedals and stuff. Now people are saying, I watch your videos all the time. I love them. And I'm like, what about her pedals, though? Do you like those?
That's not good.
So,
hey, you got to start charging for your videos.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe we just stop the pedals altogether, and I just go full. I'm just a YouTuber now. You know, I need to start going to some YouTube conventions and stuff, and maybe I need to get a good gaming channel going. You know,
apparently, I mean, that, like, I'm so not a gamer, so that just blows my mind how huge. I know the gaming market itself is huge, but I don't understand sitting around and watching people play video games.
You realize that you're like a 70-year-old man in like a 25-year-old man's body, right?
Yeah, I know.
You were born in the wrong age.
I think so. I don't know what age I should have been born in, but I think this was the incorrect one. But then I couldn't do this. We couldn't do the podcast, and I do love this, so.
That's true. This is like a fancy group party call, right? You know? Or what they used to call that? I forget.
Party line.
Party line. Yeah, it's like a fancy party line.
Oh yeah.
Right, Papa. Yep.
What's that? You would say that podcrastination or something? You guys get on a party line and you jibber jabber. Is that what you guys do?
What's the big deal about these pods you're doing? I don't even know what you're talking about stuff, and it's not even on the radio.
Right, it don't exist. If it ain't on the radio, what you doing, boy? Only casting I do is a fly. So
you on a new fandangled internet thing? You know.
But so. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I guess I am an old man. I've never really been a big gamer. I dig my NES and like Sega Genesis. I'm a little bit far behind on that. Yeah. So,
see, when it's winter, I have more gaming time. But yeah, like right now, I haven't even like turned on an Xbox or a PS4 for several months now, actually. You know, but there's a new Call of Duty coming out. So
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. That's a new game. Call of Duty.
Okay.
There's a new Call of Duty coming out.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
I did play a little Call of Duty, but, you know, the first time they had, like, the Nazi zombie killing thing. I was really into that. I was never good at it, but it was fun.
Nazi zombie killing thing. Okay. We'll
How far behind
that.
Am I?
Okay. You're a little ways back there, but yeah. Next time you're on your Nintendo 64, let me know. We'll hook up. You know.
Hey, I like it. I actually do have a Nintendo 64. As funny as that may sound,
I don't doubt it. You know, you're playing your Super Mario Brothers or whatever, and getting down on it. You know. Anyways.
Oh, I'm so old. But yeah, maybe you need to start a gaming channel. Apparently people like to watch each other play video games.
It sounds funny, but I actually have thought about doing that. Just because really for no other reason than no other music companies have started a gaming channel. I kind of like to be first to stuff. Like, I was one of the first guys that really embraced, like, email marketing, like, in 2002 or 3 or whatever it was. And, you know, I was one of the first guys that started jumping on Snapchat. And I keep noticing more and more people getting on that. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't see anybody doing a gaming channel. TC Electronics, where are you at? Come on. You know?
Yeah, you know what? They should be doing a gaming channel. That'd be great.
We need to get all these guys together, and then we'll just shoot each other in Call of Duty. You know?
I love it. It's really funny that you bring that up, because I was talking with J. Leonard J. He's a demo guy, one of the newer guys, but does great demos.
Yep. And,
yeah, he was like
a good guy too. He actually is a really, really sweet guy.
Oh, he is. He is a gear nerd. Like you wouldn't believe, like he gets all excited like I do. So, but he was talking about like coming down to the Tacoma Guitar Show, which will be over by the time this airs, but, and sitting down in a hotel room with various builders and playing video games and filming it, not really filming the game, but filming them playing video games and just the interaction between the two of them, which I thought would be hilarious.
That's the thing. It's a simple device that you connect to your monitor, and you can record that as well. So you can have cameras, you know, recording everybody and gameplay, you know, the gameplay at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, and then with good editing, you know, you just cut back and forth, you know. You know, once I, you know, think of somebody I can pick on. Once I take out Josh Scott, you know, in Call of Duty, you know what I mean? And then, like, he throws his controller at me, and he's like, "You're such an idiot." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah? Well, who's going to make a pedal called the Morning Glory?" You know what I mean? And we just start, like, this big argument over Call of Duty. That would be entertaining, I think, you know?
I would totally. I don't like gaming channels, but I'd watch that. So
then at the end, it shows us all. At the end, it shows us all, like, hugging it out and, you know, drinking a beer or something. I don't know. having tacos together. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, why not? That's the thing. Tacos. This is kind of funny. On a similar-ish subject. Mm-hmm. So last year at NAMM, my friends and I bowled against the Rockstock pedal guys. Mm-hmm. And we bowled for pedals. We didn't have pedals to give them, so it was either if we win... Well, really, it was a win-win for us. But if we won, they gave us pedals. If they won, we had to buy them. So that would have been a really funny video to make, but it's kind of along the same lines. But anyway.
Oh, another great thing I did this weekend. And totally unrelated to guitar stuff as well. So I'm sure if you're still listening, you have a little bit more more space that you can forward through here for the next 3 minutes. So I took my son to the driving range, right? And I'm not a golfer. I'm really like, I am not a golfer. I had some clubs I bought at a yard sale like 15, 20 years ago, right? I'm like, I'm good to go. Let's go hit some balls, you know? And apparently golfers take their sport pretty seriously.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
baby.
I have my 15-year-old boy who's basically a clone of me with a lot more energy. And, you know, I'm all hopped up on coffee anyways at this point. And so we go to the driving range, and, you know, he's throwing them up in the air and hitting them like a baseball, and we're laughing about it. And we're doing the Happy Gilmore thing, you know, and just being stupid. So we start out at one end, and everybody just kind of keeps moving, like, away from us. So, like, oh, well, we're going to go to the good spots. And so we move back over there, then they move even further. And then we got in the enclosed space, because that's, like, prime real estate, like, the driving range. And, basically, by the time we left an hour later, we had chased everybody out of there. They all left.
They were like, this is, I don't know, these Wamplers and their baseball golf. We can't have any of this. This isn't working.
Yeah, because we were totally not being quiet or anything. At one point, I hit a ball and it bounced off a post and almost broke the window to the shop.
That's my kind of golfing right there. I'm on board.
So, you know, I'm telling my son, I'm like, you know, you don't need technique. You just got to, you know, it's all in the biceps, you know. You just got to muscle your way through it, you know. And, I don't think people really appreciated our humor that day.
Well, you know, they need to stop being so uptight, man.
Well, I noticed when we left that the people in the shop didn't say, come back soon. So they're just like, all right, then, bye now.
All right, give us a basket and get out of here. Like,
that's the other thing. Apparently, they really frown on you going out into the grass to get more balls when you run out.
Well, I may be an elderly gentleman who's starting to develop dementia, but I did know that one. I was tuned into that.
Well, my excuse was, we've already chased everybody away. What's the harm in it, you know?
Did you guys do the thing where you aim for the golf ball driving range Zamboni?
Well, see, that was our goal. That was our entire intent is, you know, we actually said, let's go see if we can hit the tractor guy. You know, that's why we wanted to go, you know, hit golf balls. So you can
of course.
Ping off the tractor, you know? That's because you do that and it's like ultra high five, like, yes, you know? But apparently he was either sick that day or just decided not to do it.
Maybe you chased him off the field as well.
Maybe so. I was looking for him.
He knew. He was like, this guy's been here before. I know his game. I'm not picking up nothing. I'm going to pick up my sack lunch and eat this sandwich until he goes home.
maybe that very well could have been the case. So sorry if you just joined us from fast forwarding. We just got done talking about golf now.
Right.
And this is the gear segment of the show.
Oh, this is the part where we're supposed to have a gear thing prepared. Okay. Well, Brian Wampler, please tell me, what are your opinions on true bypass versus buffered bypass? Because we all need to hear that again.
Yeah, sure. That should be the title of this episode, you know.
That'd be kind of funny. Because then it's not about that. That would be even better. I love that kind of stuff.
Or people would be really, really irritated at us. You know what I mean?
I think if they've gotten this far in the episode, they already are, regardless of the title.
Right.
So
here's a cool thing that I'm doing this weekend.
Okay, I'm ready.
So Brad Paisley's in course, he's in Nashville. So he's doing a show in Nashville, very small place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called The Cannery, in case anybody in Nashville is wondering what I'm talking about.
Oh.
He's doing a show with Robin Ford.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's cool.
Yes. So, of course, I had to make sure that I was going to be at that one. So, I will be going back to Nashville this weekend to see Brad Paisley and Robin Ford duel it out. You know?
That'll be sweet.
I'm pretty excited about that.
The Cannery, I think I drove by it. That is not a very big place.
No. It's a small, intimate place. Very limited amount of seating in there. So, it should be a pretty good show.
That's pretty rad.
It might be close enough where I can heckle him. You suck!
Where'd you learn to play guitar? Jersey? Oh, is that a thing? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But I am pretty excited about that. That should be pretty cool. I'm anxious to see what kind of rig he plays there versus, because, you know, his stadium tours and stuff. I mean, he's, I got some pictures. I'm trying to think how many. I bet he's probably got 15 amps now. 16? Wow. 16, 17 amps. He's a lot of Category 5. What'd you say?
I said are they all rocking like when he's playing, or does he? No, just he switches. Like to have him to rotate.
Yeah, he switches. You know, so I mean, any given song, he may use 3 or 4 different amps if he wants to.
Yeah, he has that option. Why not? I would if I was him. So.
So yeah, I mean it's and he runs stereo, so it's. It's pretty wild. He's using a lot of Category 5 stuff, I saw. He's Category 5, and he had the new Dr. Z DB amps, which sound great. They sound great. Running blue Alnicos, and it looked like. It was pretty awesome.
Well, that sounds quite tasty. Awesome. Yeah. Quite tasty, indeed.
Yep. I tried to get him to trade me, but he would not trade me a pedal for an amp.
Here's a question. Breaks. You may have talked about this before, but have you ever actually got to like strum a chord through any of his stuff? Like in of that caliber, you know?
Not everything plugged up. I mean, I've fiddled around on his guitars before, but he's never said, "Here, play this song while I walk out front and check the monitors or anything like that." You know, I mean, nothing like that.
But, you know, I have these fantasies of that these things happen, but I know in reality that they don't actually.
Well, I'm always fully prepared with a pick and pocket in case he's like, "I wonder what that sounds like out front." I'm like, "Here, you could play your song for you. You just go out front and check it out.
You just go out there and take your time. Really feel the room. Listen, you know, to every corner. I'll put some notes out there for you. Take a time to explore the acoustics and really absorb, so you know that you have everything just right. You know,
right. Yeah. It's I don't know. Travis Feaster is you know the guy that used to be on the podcast before episode 65-ish or so. He got the. And we haven't even talked about one of the podcasts, I think. We were at a sound check, or I'm sorry, at a pre-show. So, we're at sound check. And Brad was like, "Listen to the sound of this acoustic." And he stuck his in-ears in Travis's ear. And I'm like, dude, if that was me, I would have never washed my ear again.
I forgot about that. I remember you guys talking about that.
And Travis is like, I couldn't stop but thinking, his earwax is in my ear.
And funny. He probably has like custom in-ears that like don't quite fit Travis.
Right. Yeah.
Unless they're ear twins. Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I never asked him. Like, so did it fit? You know?
Well, that's something to, once you get off of this recording here, text Travis and see if they fit.
I will. Yeah. I'll be like, hey, remember that time that, you know, you swapped ear wax with Brad Paisley? What was that like?
That's not very many people can say that. He should wear that. He should get a t-shirt printed up says something along those lines.
He totally needs a t-shirt printed up that says that.
Yeah, I swapped earwax with Brad Paisley.
I went to a Brad Paisley show and all I got was some earwax. You know, something like that. No, I mean,
he's the only one who can say that, probably.
Right. Hopefully the Paisley crew, if they happen to be listening to this, know I'm teasing.
Right. So, all I got was earwax and my face melted off by some shredding.
If not, I'm sure when I go to get my ticket this week, you'll be like, yeah, you don't have a ticket here. Brad.
That's so weird, Brian. You know, something about Brad was worried he would swap earwax with you, and he didn't end up offering you a ticket. I don't know what the deal is. But
right, yeah. For some reason, they're just not here. So,
well, such is life.
Right.
You know.
All right, so with that, I think it's a good place to end this episode on.
I think so.
You got anything to add? Any final outbursts or moments of clarity?
No, not really. I'm pretty muddy at this point. I don't have anything intelligent to add to this conversation regarding Brad's earwax.
All right. So for those listening, if you have any questions, email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And I do read those myself, and I do respond myself. So just so you know, you can check us out on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page. What's that? Wampler Pedals Tone Group. And of course, you got Todd Tone. What is your website?
Oh, I don't know.
Tonemob.com, right?
I think when I registered it was tonemob.com. And on all the various social medias, it's the Tone Mob. And then there is the Tone Mob Facebook group as well. And if you have any, you want to tell me to never talk to Brian about Brad's earwax again, you can send that to info@tonemob.com and I'll delete it.
I will send you back a bag of fingernail clippings.
That's right.
So
not Brad's though.
Not Brad's. All right. So until next week, thanks for listening, and we will see all of you guys later.